Luke chapter 23, we'll begin reading in verse number 33. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him, and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. And the people stood beholding. And the rulers also with them derided him, saying, He saved others. Let him save himself, if he be Christ, the chosen of God. And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar and saying, If thou be the king of the Jews, save thyself. And a superscription also was written over him in letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew, This is the king of the Jews. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss. I'm going to leave off reading there. Notice three times in these verses, verse 35, we have the words, Let him save himself. Again in verse 37, If thou be the king of the Jews, save thyself. And again in verse 39, one of the thieves said, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. Let's pause for a word of prayer and we'll come back to this emphasis. May we pray, our Father, accept our gratitude for this time together. We thank Thee for this special place, the house of God. We ask that Thou wouldst help us now as we wait before Thee. We ask that somehow Thou wouldst give us ears to hear and eyes to see and hearts that will respond to Thy truth. Now for all that Thou wouldst do, we'll be grateful and thankful. By Thy grace we will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. This little phrase has sort of surfaced and emboldened itself in my thinking. And with the Lord's help for a few minutes this morning, I want to preach on the subject, Save Thyself. Save Thyself. Now, this is a statement of mockery, a statement of derision. We know the Lord Jesus could have come down from the cross. But He chose to please the Father and He chose to pay for our sins. And He did not come down. I'm grateful and thankful. But the temptation was, save thyself. Don't go through all this trouble. Come down. Save yourself and save us too. Because that is a common temptation. I want to emphasize this morning that the biblical perspective is not to try to save yourself, but to submit yourself to God. It's not that I should try to take the easy road, but I should submit to the road that God has chosen, just as the Lord Jesus submitted to the cross. Now, we often hear in our day, I've heard this and you have too, Well, you better take care of yourself. Nobody else is going to. Take care of yourself. And there's a measure of truth in that. I think it's in all of us to defend ourselves, isn't it? If we're not careful, we'll go overboard. Our youngest grandson, Samuel, loves knives. I have worried about his love for knives and tried to keep it in a good context. And recently we had a bad experience. He went to a birthday party, and as they were going, he said to his mother, "I hope so-and-so," mentioning the boy, "doesn't come." Well, this boy is about 3 years older than Samuel. He's built very big. He pushes everybody around. And so Samuel didn't want to put up with all of that conflict. Well, they drove up and saw his mother's car, and my daughter tried to prep him and say, "Now look, he's here. He was invited just like we were invited. I don't want any problem." But after a while, they came into the house and said, "They're in a fight! They're in a fight!" And so my daughter ran out, and there Samuel was in the middle of it with his knife drawn in his hand. He and the big boy were playing horseshoes, and the big boy pitched a horseshoe, and it went off down past the stob, and he told Samuel to go get the horseshoe. Samuel said, "I didn't throw it down there. You go get it." So he picked up the horseshoe that he had, and he said, "I said to go get it." And Samuel pulled out his knife and said, "And I told you I wasn't going to get it." And in a way, I was proud of him for holding off the bully. But we talked to him about, you don't do things like that. And hopefully he's learned his lesson. But it's in all of us to defend ourselves. Just this week I said to a young man who is very defensive, very forward, "You're going to have to ask the Lord to help you with that. You're always wanting to blame everybody else and take no blame yourself." It's in us. And then we have others, Satan and others, who would encourage it. "Yeah, take care of yourself, man. You stand up for yourself. Go, girl, you can do it." And it's a battle. But Christians are not called to defend themselves. They are called to deny themselves, to take up their cross, and to follow Christ. It's a humble path. It's a lowly path. And so I want to emphasize this from this perspective tonight. The crowd said to Jesus, "Save thyself." I seem to hear those words ringing in many of our ears this morning. Now, this is not the first time Christ has been opposed in this way. I want you to turn with me to Matthew chapter 4. I'm going to take just a minute or two and say, firstly, that this teaching of save thyself was solicited by the devil. The devil came to Christ in what we call Christ's time of temptation. And though he did not use the words, he did basically say to Jesus, "Save thyself. Take care of thyself." Let's look at it, verses 1, 2, and 3 involved the temptation to turn stones into bread. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, that is, Satan said, "If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread." Of course, the Lord Jesus came back at him, just like we have to, with the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. And he answered and said to him, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Here Satan was soliciting this idea, save thyself. Your heavenly Father's not going to take care of you. You've gone 40 days and 40 nights without food. Why don't you just turn these stones into bread? Save thyself from hunger. Save thyself from this time of difficulty. Of course, I find it interesting that not long after, the Lord Jesus turned water into wine to please the Father. But he would not turn stones into bread to please the devil. So Satan solicited this idea in the temptation, saying, make stones or make bread out of these stones. Then look at the second facet of the temptation, verses 5 and 6. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple and saith unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Then said Jesus unto him, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Now it's not stated, but it seems to me that Satan is saying, if you leaped off the wall of the temple, and the Lord took care of you and the people saw it, they would immediately say, you're the Messiah. You're the sent one. Save thyself from these years of ministry. Save thyself from all the obstacles and battles of life. Just go ahead and jump and let the angels catch you and get on with your ministry. Save thyself. The third facet of the temptation begins in verse 8, where again the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and saith unto him, all these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then said Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan. For it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Again, it looks to me as though Satan is offering Jesus a shortcut to throneship and power. He said, if you will bow down before me, I'll give you all these kingdoms, all this land, and all these nations out here that you see. I'll give it all to you. Well, according to the book of the Revelation, the day will come when all the kingdoms of this world shall be the kingdoms of our God and of His Christ. And Christ shall rule upon the earth for 1,000 years in millennial glory. Satan may say to us sometimes, you're a loser. Look at all you're missing out on. You could have done this or you could have done that. But I promise you, we're on the winning side. Amen. The Lord Jesus will come back and rule over the kingdoms of this world. Basically, Satan was saying, save thyself all these thousands of years. Save thyself all these issues that will rise. Just go ahead and bow down to me and I'll turn them over to you now. Like he was God. And so we have this theory, this idea, this emphasis solicited by the devil. Firstly, in the hour of Christ's temptation. Now my thoughts are, if Satan pushed this theory on Jesus, save thyself, how much more will he bombard you and attack me with that same concept? Of course, he first deals with the sinner. You save yourself from that embarrassment of confessing Christ. Save yourself from repenting. Good night. That's something they did in the dark ages. Save yourself from admitting you're a sinner. Save yourself from all of that embarrassment and humiliation, saying that you're going to hell unless you accept Christ. Just save yourself from all of that and forget it all. Oh, that's His goal, is it not? Amen. To keep men, women, boys, and girls from the Savior. And then He says to you and me, why don't you take a shortcut? You want to be something in life. You don't want everybody to think you're a failure, that you're a poor, pitiful Christian. And all you do is go to church. But there's got to be more to life than what Christians are saying there is to life. Why don't you just save yourself from all of that? It's like one of our relatives. You know, relatives are very sweet at times and very cruel at times. Of course, I'm sure your family is not like mine or my wife's family, but there are some who sort of push their way around, you know, and everybody knows that the Christmas gathering will be over at her house or his house. It's just how it's going to be. Y'all all are smiling so deceptively. On one occasion, one of our relatives asked about the shoes our daughter was wearing. You know, they know what clothes to buy and what shoes to buy, and what products to use and so on. And so they asked about our shoes, the shoes we had for our baby. My wife said, yes, they're such and such. We got them on sale over here. And right out of nowhere, this was something that hit us broadside, right out of the family, you know. They said, well, you ought to be buying, and then they gave the top brand. So your child's feet won't turn in. Nothing will be wrong with her feet. And my wife said, well, we can't afford those right now. Well, if you'd quit giving so much to the church, you could. See, there it is. Save thyself. Amen. Make it easy for yourself. Amen. That's Satan's desire for all of us. I want you to turn to the Gospel of John. However, I want to point out, not only is this concept of saving ourselves solicited by the devil, but it is suggested by the disciples. The followers of the close followers of Christ said some things to Him that indicate they wished He would save Himself. I'm in chapter 6, first of all. This is right before the feeding of the 5,000. Jesus has just asked Philip, when shall we buy bread that these may eat? Verse 7, Philip answered Him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. In other words, Jesus, we don't have enough. We don't have enough in the treasure for that project. We couldn't start that. We're going to have to wait till we get more in the treasure. The treasury. And then verse 8, one of His disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto Him, there's a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. But what are they among so many? Here are 3 excuses. Bam, bam, bam. Philip says, Lord, we don't have enough in the treasure. Save thyself the embarrassment. Andrew says, but Lord, there's so many people here. The crowd's too big. Save thyself from this embarrassment. And then He said, we do have 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but they're not big. That's not enough. Save thyself, Lord. Don't embarrass yourself. And Lord, please don't embarrass us in front of this bunch. And yet Jesus had them sit down. And what did He do? He took 5 barley loaves and 2 fishes, prayed over them, blessed them, and they passed out fish to the entire crowd. We think approximately 15,000 or more, 5,000 men besides women and children. And then they had basketfuls left over after this great miracle. I'm saying sometimes the disciples, followers of Christ, who seemingly mean well, will keep you from what God has intended to do in your life. Save thyself. Don't get embarrassed. I wish you wouldn't testify like that in church. And I wish you wouldn't side with so-and-so on that issue. Sort of make some of us look bad. I wish they wouldn't do that. Save thyself. Save thyself. Don't embarrass me. Don't put me on the spot so I'll have to give more. Don't put me on the spot so I'll have to testify for heaven's sake. I don't want them to think I'm some kind of heathen, so I'll have to jump up too. I wish they wouldn't do. Save thyself. Save thyself. In chapter 11, they did it again. This is the story about Lazarus being sick unto death. And Jesus got the message. And he said to his disciples in verse 7, John 11, verse 7, "Let us go into Judea again." His disciples say unto him, "Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again? Lord, are you going right back and let them kill you?" Well, Jesus talked to them about the will of God, and he said in verse 11, "Our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep." And his disciples, not understanding, said, "Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well." It almost sounds like they're saying, "We wish we could get a little bit more, but we're always transient. You're always moving from one place to another." Howbeit, Jesus spoke of his death, but they thought he had spoken of taking rest and sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, verse 14, "Lazarus is dead, and I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him." Then said Thomas, you remember doubting Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, "Let us go. Let us also go that we may die with him." He's definitely going to die. We'll just die with him, I guess. Save thyself, they're saying. Lord, don't only save yourself from the embarrassment of too many people to feed and not enough in the treasury, but Lord, save yourself from being stoned to death in Judea. Sort of like in 1968 when God revolutionized my life. I had been a Christian, but I was a very poor one. But God sent revival to my home church, and I was one that God miraculously worked in those days, and I'm grateful. I'll forever be grateful for that work of God. In fact, I said to Brother Rudy Smith, who had just given his testimony that night, how God had worked in his life. He is a couple of years older than me. He came out, I was standing on that old brick wall in front of the church, and he came by me and I began to weep. I said, "Rudy, I see what the Lord's done for you. I wish you'd pray for me that he'd help me." Boy, you're headed in the right direction when you talk like that. It wasn't long till God had worked mightily in my life, and I'm thankful, I'm grateful. But there was a friend of ours in that same meeting who came forward, seemingly got his life straightened out. I later acknowledged I felt God was calling me to preach. Rudy was preaching. And our friend began to hint that he might need to preach or go to the mission field or something. And his mother became enraged. Good church member. She said, if it's the last thing I do, I will not let him go to a mission field or turn out to be some preacher. Well, she succeeded. He never served God, and he's still not serving God. Save thyself. Save thyself.
Amen.
Don't die to what you want. Don't die to your desire. Save yourself from that. The disciples say, Lord, don't go back. They're going to kill you. Jesus said, well, we're going. Thomas said, let's go, boys. Let's go die with it. I'm saying,
amen,
the enemy, Satan, solicits this. Save thyself. But there are disciples, church folks, that suggest this. Save thyself. One other quickly, would you mind turning back to Matthew chapter 16? This is the only account in the Gospels of this particular emphasis. Matthew chapter 16. You remember Jesus has just commended Simon Peter. He gave that great confession. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus said, flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto thee. You didn't learn that down at the synagogue, did you, Simon? But my Father, which is in heaven, opened your eyes to that.
Amen.
And then Jesus commended him and said, I'm going to give you the keys to the kingdom. Beginning in verse 21, from that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from thee, Lord. This shall not be unto thee. Save thyself. There it is again, in this cunning fashion. And Jesus had to turn and rebuke Simon Peter. Get thee behind me, Satan. For thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of man. And notice this emphasis again, verse 24. Jesus said to his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever shall save his life shall lose it. And whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. Simon Peter did his best to keep Jesus from the cross. How would you like that mark against you? And yet if we're not careful, we'll have it against us trying to keep ourselves from denying what we want. And we'll say, be it far from me. I don't care what the preacher says. I don't care what mama thinks. I don't care whether they feel like it's right or wrong. I'm going to do what I want to do. I'm going to save myself. And you'll lose your life. But if you lose your life and yield yourself to Jesus, you'll gain it.
Amen.
You'll save it.
Amen.
Now let's come back to our text in Luke. I don't know when I've preached a sermon like this. I usually take a text and just stay with it. But I could see this principle all the way through, and I wanted to underline it. We've noticed, first of all, that this theory, save thyself, was solicited by the devil. We've seen, secondly, that this theory, save thyself, was suggested by the disciples. Of course, in this text we read earlier, we have all sinners, people who are unconverted. And so I'm emphasizing, thirdly, this emphasis, save thyself, is stated by the degenerate, those who are unsaved. Certainly, sinners can't understand why we would yield our lives to Christ, can they? In fact, they come by the church on Wednesday night and they laugh. They say, Good night, they're there again. Boy, that pastor, that preacher must really be duping those people. He's shaking them down. He's getting all their money. That's how the poor sinner mind thinks. I remember when I used to come in on Monday on second shift and all the fellas that I worked with on that assembly line, they'd been drunk all weekend. And as soon as I showed up, they started badgering. Hey, Hayes! How many times did you go to church yesterday, Hayes? Well, I went to Sunday school, I went to preaching, went to Bible study and preaching again. 4 times, Hayes? Hey, boys, Hayes went to church 4 times yesterday. Hayes, you must have done a real no-no last week. He must have done something real bad, boys, if you had to go 4 times. That's the world's philosophy. Save yourself. Don't bother. Notice how the degenerate rulers cried out, firstly. Jesus has just begun to say, Father, forgive them. The tense here indicates that he kept saying that from time to time. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Verse 35 says, and the rulers also with them, that is with the people who were beholding him, derided him or mocked him, saying, he saved others, let him save himself if he be Christ, the chosen of God. Here they're mocking who he claimed to be. The Messiah, the sent one, the anointed, the Christ, the chosen of God. Let him save himself. Save thyself, Jesus. If you're who you claim to be, the degenerate, the poor, blind sinners, they're right here in front of heaven's door. And they mocked the door. Look furthermore at verse 37. The soldiers, of course these Roman soldiers have already gambled over his garments. They offer him vinegar. And they say in verse 37, if thou be the king of the Jews, save thyself. Here they're not just mocking who he claimed to be, but they are mocking his relationship with his people, king over a kingdom. Thou be the king of the Jews, save thyself. If you're the great monarch, why don't you take over? Why are you dying on a cross? They're questioning his purpose. They're questioning his role. If he's a king, the degenerate rulers stated, save thyself. The degenerate soldiers stated, save thyself. Isn't it interesting, these soldiers gambling for his garment? They have the riches of heaven hanging on a cross right over them. And they're trying to make a little measly profit over a garment. Don't sell your soul so cheap, dear friend. When the riches of heaven are available in Christ.
Amen.
Notice the final reference, verse 39. And one of the malefactors, that would be the unrepentant thief, which were hanged, railed on him. The idea is that he kept on railing, he kept on mocking, saying, if thou be Christ, save thyself and us. Do something for us while you're helping yourself. Don't let me die like this. He didn't want to be saved, but he didn't want his condemnation. Isn't that true about a lot of people? They act like they don't want to go to hell, but they're really not interested in going to heaven. They don't want to go down the downward path to judgment and destruction, but they save themselves from the righteous path of yieldedness to God.
Amen. That's good
preaching. Save thyself. Save thyself. And I've tried to figure out how can I benefit from my mistake this morning up the road. And it's hit me. It's hit me while I'm preaching. So I'm going to use it in closing. When I got down to Highway 11 and realized my stupid mistake this morning, of course I was meditating on save thyself. If I can have an excuse. And I just kept going down number 9, didn't get on Chesney Highway. And then I thought, there's got to be a road that goes over to Chesney Highway. I wonder how far I need to go back up, or do I need to go on down and come up by Brooklyn Church and come out that way? And so I called the pastor. I really didn't expect him to call me back, but I called. And he apparently checked it, and he's not ready to preach, so he knows he's got to call me. At any rate, you know what I was doing when I called him? I was trying to save myself a little embarrassment. And I got here and found out he'd already told the whole church. It doesn't pay to try to save yourself. Just go ahead and admit you failed and come short of the glory of God. Run to Christ. Run to Christ. Don't try a shortcut. Don't think, well, I'm going to do what I want to do a while before I ever get serious about all this religious stuff. Oh, dear friend, the enemy, Satan, would have you think you're saving yourself.
That's right.
But in the long run, you're losing yourself and you're losing your soul. Come to Christ while you can. Be saved while you can. And then for those of us who claim to know Him, He wants us to live a life of dedication to Him. So I say, well, I'll go Sunday morning. No need to go back over there on Sunday night, Wednesday night. Save thyself from the rigidity of coming to church regularly. Save thyself. Well, I give my money. I think that's enough. I don't have to be a Christian 24/7. Save thyself. That's the enemy's wish. That's the enemy's desire. Well, they asked me if I'd consider taking a class. I don't have time to take a class. Yeah, save thyself from it. Save thyself. Make sure you've got plenty of time for everything else. But don't submit to teaching or some other position. Run from it. I want to tell you the biblical truth is don't try to save yourself. Submit yourself to God.
That's right.
Amen. Please Him. Honor Him. Trust Christ with your life in every facet. You've been